Long time no talk, guys. Wow, look at us go.
Welcome to This Horror Life. My name is Rob Humphrey, joined as always by Ghost and Kat. And wow, it's been a while. How's everybody doing?
It has been a minute.
It has been. But
that's my bad.
Yeah. Gee, Ghost.
Sorry, you go on one little vacation and throws a wrench in everything, I guess.
Forever. The show just went dark. But we are back now, and that's a good thing. And we have a special episode this week, an interview with Steve Uncle Creepy Barton, who is a producer on Terrifier 2, which is in theaters now. And we'll talk to him about the movie and some of those sort of things coming up here in a little bit. Now, a little peek behind the curtain. We pre-recorded the interview. Super nice guy.
Super nice.
Yeah, really enjoyed talking to him. So that's coming up here in a little bit. But because it's been so long, I thought we would run through things that we've been up to. And I want to start with you, Ghost, because you were up to the coolest thing of all.
I was up to the coolest thing of all. Yeah, I took a trip to Salem, Massachusetts, which was really, really fun. A week was not enough. But oh my God, I don't even know where to start talking about the trip.
Yeah. Thanks for the invite, too. I appreciate that. I couldn't make it, but.
Yeah, you know, always.
Mm-hmm.
Kat, you're more than welcome to join next time I go.
Nice.
It'll be a girls trip.
Yay.
I see how it is.
I would like to go back. It's been a really long time.
No, I'm not even kidding. I'm already in talks with my friend Sam, and I have another friend Jade who lives in Connecticut, and I'm like, hot girls trip to fucking Salem. Let's do it next year. So
unbelievable. I'm the hottest girl here and I'm not invited.
I'd have to talk with the other girls. It's a council, you see.
I'll wear my Crocs.
So you're not invited.
Automatic no. Automatic no.
All right. So I've never been to Salem. So is it everything that you would imagine it to be?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a cute little town. It's like right by the ocean. It's, you know, an oceanside town. And there's so much to do. It's actually like impossible to get everything done. And even in the amount of time I was there, I mean, probably could have gotten more done if we didn't take a couple of days and go to Boston. But you know, I was in the area and it's like, you know, we're close. It's like a 40-minute drive. Like you can't pass up that opportunity. But there's just so many different museums to go to, so many different shops that all have very, very different things. Some are, you know, there are crystal shops, there are metaphysical shops, there are shops that just have fucking shit ton of t-shirts and stuff. But it is a blast, not to mention all of the history that's there. One of the coolest things we did was the witch memorial that they have. They have all these benches with the names of everybody who was executed. And just even being in the area, seeing it, like, instant chills. It was really, really cool to be able to be there and kind of like show our respects for what these people went through.
Yeah, but they call it the Witch Memorial.
Yeah, and so that's what I believe it is.
All these years later, and we're still calling them witches.
Yeah,
doesn't seem right, does it?
Yeah, on second thought.
Yeah, could be the People We Murdered Memorial or something.
Yeah, no, but it was really cool because on every bench there were like flowers that people had brought and a bunch of different offerings that people had brought to leave with them. So that was like really, really interesting. And then it's right next to the cemetery where a lot of people who were involved in the trials or family members of the people involved are actually buried.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a good time. I think the three of us and Sam and Jade and me and my Crocs walking down Main Street there in Salem would be a good time.
I mean, like I said, I'll have to talk to the council.
Yeah. All right. Well, have you been up to anything else? Did you watch anything?
Yes. I'm trying to think that far back, and I can't because I have a shit memory. Mm-hmm. But recently I have watched Hocus Pocus 2.
Okay.
Nice.
Which I thought was good. I liked some of the little jokes and the nods, and you know, they really kind of, there are a lot of little pieces that was like, oh, okay, that's callback to the original. But you know, it was all right. It wasn't like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's a hit just like the first, but it was good. I also watched, obviously, because we talked about it, I went to the theater. We saw Terrifier 2.
Sure.
Which I enjoyed, and I'm sure we'll get into in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently started watching Dahmer.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
In. Yeah, it's very, very creepy. Very, very weird.
Yeah, I watched all of that. Good. I know you started Dahmer, Kat. Did you ever finish it, or did you tap out?
I finished it.
Did you like it?
Yes and no. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, having watched the trailers. Mm-hmm. The trailers did not have me sold. And I do appreciate, they touched on a lot of elements that I really think don't get brought up enough when people discuss the case, which mm-hmm. is excellent. I wish they had dug just a little bit deeper into them. There's just like, I do sometimes felt like the focus strays. Mm-hmm. In directions that I'm not super pleased with. Yeah. But I mean, and you know, then there was the whole controversy. There have been a lot of like weird things surrounding the show. Mm-hmm. That made me kind of feel like that made me kind of regret liking it as much as I did.
Yeah.
But
as I'm only three episodes in, and I feel like my biggest problem so far is that they've kind of showed Dahmer in more of like an okay light. Like, I don't even want to say that. Like, I don't know. Like, it's almost like you feel bad for him. At some points,
I do think he's more sympathetic than maybe they thought he was when they were making it.
Like, I just watched the scene where he's sitting in a diner with his dad and his dad's girlfriend, and he's like, "Dad, like, there's something wrong with me. Like, I'm having these impulses. I'm having these fantasies." And his dad's just like shutting him down, and like, part of me is like, oh my God, that's so sad. Like, mm-hmm. he's trying to reach out and be like, dude, I'm fucked up, help me. But like, also it's like, it's Jeffrey Dahmer. So I don't want to feel bad for that, you know?
Yeah. It does have some of that. Although I always say it's not nearly as bad as the worst example of that, which is that Ted Bundy movie that came out. The one that starred Zac Efron.
Although I just want to say Zac Efron, like a lot of people liked him. Before the Ted Bundy situation, and Ted Bundy was supposed to be like a very charismatic, very attractive man.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they cast Evan Peters as Jeffrey Dahmer?
I know, that's why I'm like, Dahmer was not hot by any means.
You're watching like people go crazy for Dahmer, and part of you is like, oh my God, people are so fucked up, and then another part of you is like, well, it's Evan Peters, of course they were gonna right. do that. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Although I contend, I mean, maybe it's just a different decade now or whatever, a different time, but I see pictures of Ted Bundy. I don't think he's fine. He's an average looking dude. I don't know why everybody thought he was so hot.
I just think people back then were just not that attractive.
Yeah. Like,
and I mean, he was just like the better looking of the ones that were there.
Cause like I've seen pictures. I wouldn't go so far as to say he was like ugly or anything. He's just a dude. He's just, you know,
oh my God, Damon, leave my crystals alone.
You know, I'm not cutting that, right?
That's fine.
I hope you don't.
I was sitting here and I'm playing with some tweezers because I just have them on my desk and I have to fiddle with things with my hands, and I just heard clinking. Bastard.
All right. So yeah, Dahmer, I enjoyed it. I think you'll like it, Ghost. Anything else you want to talk about?
Oh my God. I can't remember anything else I've watched recently. That's how bad. That's how long it's been though. Also.
Yeah. All right. Kat, what do you have?
I'm kind of in the same. I know there's stuff that I've watched. I don't remember exactly when it started, but like some highlights. I finally saw We're All Going to the World's Fair.
Oh yeah, how was that?
I talked about that last time. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. But it has to be way, extremely weird if Kat's calling it weird.
Yeah.
In a different way than I had expected it to be. It was not what I expected. My biggest complaint, they make a lot of references to Paranormal Activity. A lot of the characters are like, oh, it's just like Paranormal Activity. And it's like, a lot more has already happened than anything that went on in Paranormal Activity. So I don't know what movie you were watching.
Yeah.
Do they still do the World's Fair?
I don't think so. I think after all the murders, they probably stop, right?
Well, no, let's see. Didn't. Because, I mean, I went to one in the 80s that was in Tennessee.
Oh. Right here. It says, per Wikipedia, the World's Fair still happens. It happened in Milan in 2015. It was supposed to happen in Dubai last year.
Oh. I saw Pearl.
Ooh.
Fancy. Which really enjoyed. Not as good as X, but excellent. I saw Speak No Evil because I saw a lot of people online were like, oh no, I watched the new Shudder movie and it fucked me up. And I was like, well, okay. I want to see what's going on. And it's very good. It's very well done. Very tense. It did not fuck me up. I think it's because I'm not a parent. I think if you were, you know, I think it like really goes after parents,
mm-hmm.
like trying to stress them out. And I could not relate because I would just not have kids. That's my solution to everything. Kids already freaked me out. I didn't need the whole rest of it. I'm sure we're going to talk about this a little bit. Actually, both of these next ones, I think we're going to talk about. I imagine, but I saw The Monsters. Rob's got opinions about that one. I also saw My Best Friend's Exorcism, which I know Rob.
Oh,
also-
I forgot I watched that.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I wish I could forget I watched it.
Yeah, we all kind of.
Same.
Yeah. I figured we'd hold The Monsters and My Best Friend's Exorcism to the end. So we can talk about them. Yeah.
Right. And then the new Hellraiser I saw.
Oh yeah. That's on my list. That and the new season of Chucky are on my list to watch still.
Well, did that start?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't even know. I haven't finished the last season. I think I still have one or two episodes of the first season to go.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. I got things to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So let's see. Real quick through this ginormous list that I have.
Highlights, please.
I saw Pearl. Like Kat said, I liked it a lot. I did not like it as much as X, but Ty West does a great job of recreating an era of film, and he crushes it in that. I saw Shark Side of the Moon.
Oh, yeah, I saw Shark Side of the Moon.
It is a really, really bad movie that I really, really enjoyed watching. I watched The Loved Ones from 2009, the Australian movie. I'd never seen that before. I really liked it. I watched Dash Cam, which was just okay. Here's one I do want to talk about, Ghost. I finally watched Secret Window.
I love that movie so much, and probably hated it, but I love it so much.
I know you love it so much, and so I kept sitting there watching it going, why does Ghost love this so much? This is terrible.
It so much.
I figured out the twist 20 minutes into the movie and then had to wait another hour and a half to just verify that I was correct.
Okay, bitch, that's how I felt watching Shutter Island. Okay, but I still love that one too.
I went to the theater and saw Smile.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
It's not good. Let's see.
Just ruined everything for me.
Yeah, I watched the first 6 Friday the 13th movies.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Are you stopping after 6 or are you gonna
No,
going?
I'm gonna pick back up. I just had other stuff come up. And then I saw the new Hellraiser twice.
Mm-hmm.
Twice.
Yeah, I watched it twice. It's very good. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I rewatched Malignant, which is still a bad movie.
Why would you rewatch that? Why did you do that?
Some people told me I needed to rewatch it because it was good, so I said, okay, I'll rewatch it, and it's still bad. So.
Here's the thing. Sometimes you can trick Rob into rewatching by telling him that they're good.
Wait, no, the value. You got to rewatch it. It's good. It's better the second time around.
Yeah. But yeah. And I also watched The Monsters twice. And My Best
Friend's Exorcism. Because you like that one. Right. It's because you like that one.
Yeah. That's most of what I watched. There's still a few other ones I didn't mention, but.
There was one that I forgot to talk about. I talked about the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And My Best Friend's Exorcism. I also, there was one really bad movie that I watched, and people kept telling me not to watch it. But I did. And I understand now. I watched The Resort finally.
Oh my God.
After like a full year of people telling me, please don't watch this. I finally
sometimes
did.
Like there's just that little rat in the back of your brain that's like, all right, I gotta know though. I gotta know just how bad it is.
I needed to know. And it made immediately, like as a writer, I was like, the film opens, the plot is the woman, like her friends take her on an island vacation to go like urban exploring on this abandoned resort, and they take her as a celebration for her finishing the roughed draft of her novel. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what kind of rich ass friends do I need to get that we're celebrating this? Because God damn, I've been doing writing wrong, you guys. Yeah.
Clearly, God damn.
Yeah. So yeah, I've also seen The Resort. I watched it because it was listed as a slasher movie.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's a slasher movie on Hulu. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah, and it's still on Hulu, says it's a slasher movie. I saw it last night and I was like, you lying motherfuckers.
It's never good when the most memorable kill of a movie is by car crash.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, yeah. I have never watched that movie because my parents rented it and said they did not like it. Yeah. And like, if they say they don't like it, like I really know, because they like everything.
Yeah, it's really, really bad.
So bad.
I did also, I finished a book. I finished that book that Kat told me to read, The Cabin at the End of the World.
Yeah. Oh, how'd you like it?
I liked it. It's good. I have since seen the trailer for the movie a couple of times. I'm less enthused about the movie being good.
I don't think the movie is going to be good.
No, especially when you see Dave Bautista.
Oh,
and,
God.
And then the card directed by M. Night Shyamalan. It's like, we got a double whammy here. But I finished that and I started a new book.
What are you reading?
Rob, who are you?
It's called Fright Night Origins. And what it is Tom Holland, who wrote Fright Night, had an idea for a sequel that never got made. So he was going to write a novel on that. But he now has a trilogy of books planned. This is the first in the trilogy. And it is it's basically the story from the first movie, but with a lot more detail and a lot. It's been interesting. I'm about halfway through it and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm looking forward to the next two books. So hopefully they come out.
All right. Hopefully.
The book that I'm reading right now is Stephen King's Fairy Tale.
Oh, how's that?
It's different. Does not like it reads very much like a Stephen King book in style, but the content is like not dark enough.
Yeah.
All right. It's more like Eyes of the Dragon than
like
any of his others, you know.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about the good one or the bad one first?
Let's get the bad one out of the way, right?
All right, yeah. So, Amazon, right?
Yes.
Has released My Best Friend's Exorcism, a book that we love so much we did an actual episode about a book to talk about.
Yes, we did. Cat's and, Book Club.
Yeah, and they came out with a movie version, and boy, does it suck.
All of my fears came true.
It is awful. It's like a made for TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they completely cut out the dog stuff, which I didn't think there was any way they were going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I kind of knew they were going to. The biggest thing for me is they like completely stripped it all of what the book had, like the charm. Mm-hmm. And the meaning behind all of it gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just completely fucking gone.
Yeah. But they did have the creature at the end.
I don't want to talk about that. Oh my God, that was so bad. Is that where all the fucking budget went?
It must have. Because this movie,
the idea that someone's out there like watching exorcism movies, like taking notes, and they're like, yes, I see that the common denominator is that there aren't enough little creatures popping
gremlins, fucking gremlins. What the fuck was that?
Yeah, it was really, it's a really, really bad movie. I was amazed that they could take that book and turn it into that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I thought the stuff with like the Jesus bodybuilder guy would be funny, but it really wasn't.
It was kind of like cringy.
Yeah.
It was just like uncomfortable and weird. It's like, this is not
right.
Even for the time.
He was supposed to be an 80s bodybuilder, but he kind of cast kind of a scrawny looking dude in the role.
Yeah.
You know, like that guy.
He also, it seemed much older than I pictured him when I was reading it. Because I pictured like the little brother to be like younger.
Yeah, those bodybuilder guys in the 80s were all on steroids and stuff. They were huge. They looked ridiculous.
I will say he was still my favorite part of the movie, but it was a low bar.
I thought the actress that played Gretchen was the best.
So she gave a really good performance, but I was not sold on a lot of the writing behind Gretchen, made it like
the problem.
Wasn't
like,
sold on his writing. I was sold on none of the writing.
Like I said, my biggest complaint when I saw that trailer was like, oh, they're gonna lean way too far into the comedy especially with him, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, but was gonna irritate me, like, because I was worried it would be funnier than it was scary, and it's like, it irritated me because it was not funny at all.
Yeah, they really did lean into the comedy, but it wasn't funny.
No.
So yeah, it's a really bad movie.
Yeah, and also the ending where she was performing the exorcism, but she was talking about all these things that they had gone through together and all their like friendship inside jokes, completely over your head because you didn't understand any of them
jokes.
You didn't know any of it.
Yeah, no, well, I get it. There was a good movie that came out though.
There was.
What one?
The Munsters.
I didn't watch it.
You did not watch The Munsters.
I thought you were talking about Hellraiser, but okay.
No, I'm talking about The Munsters.
I haven't watched The Hellraiser yet either. Episode.
I thought you watched The Munsters.
No, I was going to, and then I forgot.
I was so ready to talk about The Munsters.
You guys can talk about it all you want, because I'm probably not going to watch it. Actually, maybe, because I like Sherry Moon. But
you should watch it, because it's Rob Zombie's best movie.
You're pushing it. But also, I've never watched an episode of The Munsters in my entire fucking life.
I will say, as someone that would only watch The Munsters when someone else had it on, they're the exact same vibe. Like, I don't have a lot of love, like The Munsters wasn't very close to my heart. It was just one of those things that I liked well enough while it was on. So it would have been very hard for me to get like mad at this, but I was kind of impressed at how accurately it really does feel the same.
Yeah, it's a great movie. He did an excellent job. I was stunned at how much I liked it.
I was stunned too. I thought you were fucking lying when you were like, oh no, I loved it.
No, I did.
I think he's lying.
No, I've watched it twice. I absolutely love it. It's a great movie, and you should definitely check it out, Ghost.
We'll see.
It is by far Rob Zombie's best film.
Maybe I'll do a watch party or something.
Well, now, if you want to talk about The Hellraiser, we can talk about that too, Kat, because I've seen that one twice also. I don't have a lot to say about it because I've never read the book, so I'm not familiar with the source material. Is it closer than the original film?
No. Okay. I thought it was going to be, and they did get some stuff, I think, more accurate. I think the Cenobites themselves were more accurate, and I think that they got, and this was something I've been saying on Twitter, I think I talked about it last night. I think my biggest problem with Hellraiser as a franchise of movies is that they don't know what a puzzle box means. Like, they just kind of, press a button and then lightning shoots out of the lament configuration. And and in the book, it really is, like, they make a big point of how difficult it is to solve this puzzle, and none of the movies got that. No, I think this one comes the closest.
Yeah, this one
doesn't quite stick the landing, but it comes damn close.
Yeah, there's a little more effort involved in this one but it's not super difficult. Like, I think anybody could figure it out.
I think the fact that, like, they go out of their way to show you, like, how the pieces work, and they have, like, all those mechanical sounds, and, you know, like, the different pieces move, and it feels like a puzzle box. I think they nailed all of that, and then they do kind of have, like, a, oh, but you can solve it with blood magic, and it's like, you can what now? They do kind of have a workaround for it, which that's my biggest complaint about the movie. And honestly, I thought I was going to have a lot more complaints with that being my biggest issue. And it's hard to hold it against Hellraiser 2022 because it's a problem that every single Hellraiser movie has.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, all the early movies, I mean, it's just like they say it's a puzzle box. I'm like, you solved the puzzle and you summoned us. I'm like, I didn't solve anything. I touched it and it just opened. that is kind of annoying. I like the new one a lot too. I thought it was weird watching Pinhead do dishes and make sandwiches, but other than that,
yeah,
girl Pinhead, yeah.
I'm gonna smack you. I'm gonna smack the shit out of you.
No, other than that though, I really enjoyed it. I thought they did a really good job. I was impressed. I didn't know what to expect, and I guess I've got to change that because it was like this direct to Hulu movie. And so I wasn't expecting much from it, but you know, Prey, also a direct to Hulu movie that was really awesome.
And I liked Books of Blood. I think Books of Blood might be my favorite anthology movie.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah.
I was too busy also watching the monsters.
I don't know what you guys are talking about now.
So, and that just leaves Terrifier 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all three seen that.
Yep. Right?
Mm-hmm, we're going to be talking to one of the producers of the film here momentarily. But we all went to the theater and we all saw it. What'd you guys think?
I loved it. I had such a fucking blast.
OK.
Yeah, I had the time of my life seeing it in theater. I think it was amazing. I think I'm when it hits streaming, I'm probably going to watch this one a lot.
Yeah,
because it's fun.
Okay.
Honestly, like, I'm so glad I was able to actually go to the theater and see it because I've never seen anything like this on a big screen before.
I will agree with that.
unless you kind of count Saw, which at the time was Buckets of Blood, like this, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm very, very glad I got to be able to see it on a big screen.
All right. After talking to Steve Barton, the producer of the film, and listening to everyone for the past few days talk about this movie, I really do wish that art was for me. But this character just does nothing for me, and so these movies don't do anything for me. I didn't like it at all. It was 2.5 hours long. I felt like they could have cut an hour out of there and had a really good movie. Yeah, it's just not my thing, I think, you know? And I wish it was, because everybody else seems to really love it.
I wish it was too, because you deserve to have fun with all the rest of us,
right? it's just so fun. It's they've gotten it down to the science. Like, it was very prevalent in the first one, but even in this one, it's even better. With like, they don't lean into horror comedy. Like, it's not that at all. It is a straight fucking slasher, but there are those moments that it's like, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but like, I can't help myself because it's this fucking mime, this clown that's doing this like crazy shit.
I laughed ridiculous. A few times in the movie. Yeah. I thought it was funny, and it's the absurdity of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's the over the topness of it that you're laughing at because it's so ridiculous,
right?
And I get that part. I don't know. It's just not for me.
Now, did you enjoy the first one at all?
No. I'm not a fan of that one either.
And how did you like All Hallows Eve?
All Hallows Eve, I have ranked as the worst movie of 2013. I did not like that movie at all.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. That movie was not good. So anyway, that's where I'm at. I am on the outside looking in at this art craze because it's just, but after watching art now in essentially three movies, it's just not for me. I mean, I wish it was, but it's just not. And I'm glad that everybody else is enjoying it. I don't understand it, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. Anything else we want to talk about, or should we jump into this interview?
Let's jump into the interview.
Yeah.
All right. We had a chance to talk with Steve, Uncle Creepy Barton, and he was a producer on Terrifier 2, and he's got some really interesting things to say. So let's take a listen. We are now joined by Mr. Steve Barton. How are you today?
I'm doing a hell of a lot better than I could have been.
Good.
That's good.
Things are crazy here in Terrifier land at the moment. Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's really, really appreciated.
Yeah, it's
thank
our pleasure.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
So you worked as a producer on the new Terrifier 2.
Yes.
Which is in theaters now.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, I'm shocked that you guys got that movie into theaters.
I was going to ask how you got that into theaters. This is the bloodiest movie I've ever seen on a big screen.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a long story. no one trusted us with the first film. You know, we got a lot of static, a lot of headaches. And the distributor at the time didn't believe in the movie and they ended up dumping it. And actually, they did get us on Netflix, though, so that was good. But, you know, they ended up dumping it. And that was actually the best thing they could have done because it enabled the fans to find this movie and start championing it, you know, and start championing Art the Clown. And, we have this movie that's arguably really fucked up, with one of the most infamous kills in cinema history. And it started taking off, you know, and it was the fans that were the ones who were making it take off. And what's interesting about that is, as filmmakers, you can't come into the game and say, I've got the new horror icon, or I've got the new cult movie. That it's not up to you. You can't make that. It's up to the fans to find. And the fans are the ones that'll tell you that. So when it came time to do the second one, we didn't think we'd be in theaters. So, you know, we were like, fuck it, go as far as you want. You know, can I curse?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Because if you have the dude, one of the dudes behind Terrifier on your show, there's going to be some profanity. So it was really weird. Every kill ended up going, what, 70 steps too far?
Yeah, I'd say that.
And that was interesting. But we never imagined in a million years that we'd actually get any bit of theatrical pull, much less 800 to 900 theaters nationwide. To their credit, the reason this happened, I mean, we did our part and made a fucking bonkers movie. But to their credit, this was bloody disgusting. This was Cinedigm. This was Screambox, who saw our movie and believed in it. And they believed in it like as much as we did. We thought that was just so unique and so incredible. And so they were saying things like at first, like, oh, we're going to get you into, you know, maybe anywhere between 400 to 700 theaters. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's nice. You know, like we didn't think that was actually going to happen. And here we are, just the Sunday of the release weekend. And I don't know if anyone could fully realize the gravity of what we've done. I mean, here's a little movie with no marketing campaign whatsoever, other than bloody disgusting myself and the director tweeting or posting on Instagram, you know. And we just kept hammering it away and hammering away at it. And then Cinedigm and Bloody and Screambox just really got our backs and kept bolstering us. And like, it was like a symbiotic relationship. We were feeding each other in a lot of ways. And we ended up opening the same weekend as 17 other movies, you know, including Trick or Treat and Scream 2, the Anniversary Edition, and all this other stuff, and Smile, and so many good movies that were out there. And literally, while these movies were on thousands of more screens than we had, showing dozens of times a day, we were on like 900 screens showing twice a day maximum, you know, and we managed to make $1.2 million in box office, which is, I'm not going to lie, it's a fucking miracle. This has never happened before. Our little movie that took out the biggest movie of the year. Top.
Yeah, I think we can all thank you for that.
It's just to us, you know, I never thought anyone would even say the words Terrifier in the same sentence as Tom Cruise or Top Gun or anything like that. And here we are, man. We literally did the fucking impossible. And even more so, what's really exciting about it is, you know, we didn't go through the MPA. You know, we didn't do any of that. We just said, hey, here's our movie. It's unrated. It's uncut. It's really fucked up. But take a chance on it, man. And they did. And the amount, the enormity of the balls on Cinedive and Bloody Disgusting and Screambox, it's amazing. Because, you know, there's a fine line between ego and confidence, and we're confident in what we do, you know, but these guys took one hell of a chance on us, and it ended up paying off. And believe me when I tell you, nobody is more shocked or thankful than we are. You know, we never in a million years saw this coming. I don't think anyone could have. Can you imagine, like, a year ago, if somebody would have told you, watch Terrifier, that's going to be the one to take Top Gun off the box office list. Would you imagine that?
No,
never, not in a million years. But you know what? We did it. And when I say we, I'm including all of you, the fans, you guys. You guys showed up on fucking mass. You guys were selling out theaters, going to see it once, twice. Some people I've seen have seen it like three times. And it's, you've given us such a gift, you again, because, you know, the mindset when we were making part two is, wow, the fans, man, they gave us something really special with how well and how much they supported the first film. So when making part two, our mindset was, we have to give them back something equally as special, you know? And now you guys have done it again, and now we're fucked because I don't know what we're going to do. you know, you guys are pushing us pretty far, and you know, yeah. We love it. And we do have ideas, and yeah, they're pretty fucked up. But I can't imagine there not being a Terrifier 3 at this point. But again, that's all thanks to you guys and you girls and the fans and everybody who took time out of their lives this weekend to show up, man. And it's a big ask, a 2.5-hour slasher movie. What?
Okay, that's what sold me the most. Are you kidding?
But you know what? There, if you look online, and Lord knows we've read everything, a lot of the people complaining about the runtime were ones who haven't even seen it yet, you know? And what's kind of mind-blowing about that is these are also the same people that'll binge 8 episodes of Stranger Things. So, you know, I guess 11 hours of 11 and the kids is fine, but, you know, 2.5 hours of art is a problem. I don't know. You know, not that I'm saying Terrifier is anywhere near as good as or anything like that, but it's just like, that's like the kind of comparison we can make. I mean, we live in an age where everybody binges multiple episodes of whatever show they love. So we figured, I mean, it never dawned on us to the movie was going to be 2.5 hours. It wasn't that. It just, Damien wrote his story and it ended up being 2.5 hours. And being that we broke every other fucking rule, why not? You know,
might as well
do it again. And we're really proud of it. And again, I cannot tell you how humbled we are by everyone. And it just means so much to us because so many people contributed to making our dreams come true this weekend. And now the game is different, you know? The game is completely different. With the success of this modest little movie, it opens up doors for other indie horror filmmakers to possibly have a chance to get their movie seen on a grander scale than they normally would have. And that's exciting. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we're most proud of, that we've literally kind of rewritten a rule here, and we've done so collectively with you all. So if things are going to change for the better, it's because of everyone doing this, not just us. I mean, we made the movie. You guys liked the movie, but more than anything, you showed up and you showed us love, and we love you for it like you would not imagine.
Art has found an audience and become a, as you mentioned earlier, sort of a new horror icon. Well, maybe not by design, but it's happened. And you've got the second movie is I'm seeing nothing but praise for it online. Everywhere I look, people love it. Does that add pressure when possibly thinking about a third movie?
No. You know why? It's because we know who this character is. You know, we know how much story there is to tell, and we know what's working. And even more so, we read, especially Damian Leone, we read every review, and they're all welcome, both good and bad. Listen, we know this movie isn't for everyone. It would be ridiculous to assume that it was. But, you know, if we see like 300 reviews and 200 of them are saying, well, I wish they did this and they shouldn't do that, and it's all the same kind of feedback, we're going to take that to heart, and we're going to try something different to try to adjust. Like, the main criticism of the first film was there's no story. And you know what? There's really not. And Damien was like, all right, hold my drink. You know, I got this. And, you know, is there pressure? Yeah, there's a lot. I ain't going to lie. Let me roll back my answer a little bit. Yes, there's pressure, but we also welcome it, because that pressure will make us work harder to try to do something cool.
That's cool. How did you get involved with producing films?
Oh, fuck. I'm 50, so I'm as old as shit. And I started Dread Central, I want to say 22 years ago. And I ran it as editor-in-chief and co-owner for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
And during that time, I had the honor and privilege of meeting a lot of my idols, two of which, George Romero and Sid Haig, became my mentors, I should say. And they guided me, man. They taught me not only how to exist in the business, but more so how to treat people and how to do it with humility and how to do it with your heart. And I am forever in debt to those two wonderful human beings. They're legends, man. I mean, hanging out with George Romero, that's like Bigfoot thinking you're cool enough to know he exists, you know? Sid Haig, same thing, man. So I'm very blessed, and I'm so lucky to have been able to do that. And producing just became like sort of a natural evolution of what I was doing. I mean, it's literally kind of the same thing, but just applying it in a different way. And I've been lucky, really lucky along the way. I'm knocking wood in case anyone's wondering what that was. Yeah, I'm knocking wood again. I've worked on Never Sleep Again, the Elm Street trilogy. I mean, the Elm Street Legacy. Sorry, I've been up for way too many hours this week. You know, I've Adam Green insists that I helped him start the Hatchet Army, which is awesome. Dread Central, under my watch, produced a couple of films, Zombie World and Monsterland, which really spotlighted the indie filmmaker. And that's what I always loved doing, is giving these indie filmmakers a chance to shine. I always loved being able to say, hey man, let's look at this and let's show people that, and you guys should check this out because this shit is cool, you know? And it was just a natural thing. And after I left Dread Central, you know, I thought, well, this is it. Being Uncle Creepy, a name that I have known the connotations that would come along with it, 20 years later, I probably would have been a little bit more selective, just that much. I it was the only thing I knew how to do, you know? It's the only thing I was good at. And being that I didn't have Dread Central to do it anymore, there was a long stretch. I just panicked. I thought it was over. And then Terrifier 2 talk started happening. And then a few other things started happening. So I got to realizing that I wasn't done, that this was just that part of my life had to end. So this part of it could begin. And it's just, everything is just really organic, honestly.
Yeah. Never Sleep Again is one of my favorite documentaries, by the way. I absolutely love those in-depth kind of documentaries like that. You guys did a great job.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, dude. We didn't know when we were making that, but like, the title would become the mantra on set. I mean, none of us slept. I mean, what a bear of a project that was. Filmed in numerous states and numerous countries and numerous cities all over the world. And it was just like, fuck, what are we doing? And then by the time we were done, it was like, wow, this is 4 hours long. So maybe I have this weird history of being involved in really long projects. You know, I don't know why that happens, but it did. But I'm very proud of every single thing that I've done and been lucky enough to do. And I'm only as good as the people surrounding me are, you know? And with Terrifier and Terrifier 2, there's amazing talent in that crew. You have Michael Levy, George Stuber, Jason Levy, Damien himself, Phil Falcone. Movies don't exist without Phil Falcone, Scott Clausen, all the makeup and hair people, Olga, Faye, Jamie. I mean, it's just everyone brings their A game all the time. And it's such a wonderful thing to be a part of. And now to have backing behind us that actually believes in what we're doing so we can be successful, it's been the greatest gift we've ever had. Because, you know, 90% of the time through Terrifier and Terrifier 2, we've essentially been on our own. So to have that backing and have that belief, it's just so different. Sometimes we pinch each other. You're like, really? They said yes to this? Okay. You know, it's great, man.
All right. So what's the future hold now? What are we looking at now that Terrifier 2 is out?
We're all going to go to sleep.
Take a nice long break.
We're gonna take a break. We're going to go to sleep. We're going to rest a little bit. And well, personally, I have a couple of other projects I've had cooking for a little while, so I got to get them done. One of which is this project that came together on Clubhouse with Alex Neuer, Jed Shepard, Blair Bathory, Sebastian Bazile, David McInerney, and Josh Stolberg, where we're taking, again, you know, we're taking the best screenplays from young filmmakers, giving them a chance to make it, and we're going to put it together in another anthology. You know, it's funny. I said I would never do, it's like my fifth anthology. And I'm like, I said I would never do another one. And like, it just keeps dragging me back in because I can't resist the allure of helping a younger filmmaker. And another thing I just did was Allegoria, the feature film debut of Spider One of the band Power Man 5000, Rob Zombie's brother. And I love Allegoria. It's on Shudder right now and has that night gallery kind of vibe, like that early, late 70s Rod Serling thing. I think Spider and his filming partner, Chrissy Fox, are just fucking talented, personified, and they're just amazing. And yeah, once the dust settles, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that clown hat has to get put back on for another round. And we do have ideas. And if it happens, holy shit, are you guys in for a fucking treat?
Yeah, I'm really hoping for another one, because I feel like there's a lot of story left to explore that was just kind of left open-ended, especially with Sienna's character.
You know, it's so hard to really know how much to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of the fun, at least in our heads, is to just give you guys enough information so you can start creating your own scenarios. You know what I mean? I think that's fun. And so we definitely told you a bit more in part two, and we'll probably tell you a bit more in part three. And one thing you're not going to have to worry about is art is never going to speak. You're never going to hear a word come out of that thing's mouth.
Oh, good.
And because that was a concern of ours too. Like, people are like, oh, you need to tell his backstory. I'm like, do we? Or is he more scary if you don't know? You know? And I think the general consensus is when it comes to Art the Clown, that's the one character we have to be very careful with, because we don't want to ruin his mystique and we don't want to tell you too much. And certainly, again, he can't ever speak, so you're not going to be able to hear him talk. And yeah, but it's Damian Leone, man. He's a mad fucking genius. And he, along with George, and it's funny, it's like there's this weird nucleus. The nucleus of this whole project is Phil Falcone. He is the heart and soul of these movies. And then the main triangle is Damian, David Howard Thornton, who plays Art, and our cinematographer, George Stuber. And the rest of us kind of like revolve in and out of there. You know what I mean? We're like orbiting that fucking triangle of absolute madness. And we're so happy to be able to do it.
All right, cool. Anything I missed, guys?
I was just wondering, like, for you guys, what was it like to kind of bring Art back into the fold and like tell more of that story? Because I know there was some time between the first one and this one, obviously. Was it super easy to just kind of get back into it? And
well, it was easy to get back into it, but it wasn't easy to actually do it, because everything that could have gone wrong went wrong.
Right.
You had the fucking plague to contend with, you know. You try to make a little indie movie and then boom, global pandemic. Well, that's great, you know. But we used that time really wisely, because Damian, being that we couldn't film, he just used all of that time to really tweak the gags, the kills. I mean, each kill in the movie goes, and you've seen it, almost every kill in the movie goes on for like 4 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what sets Art the Clown apart from, say, a Jason or a Freddy or a Michael, because those cats, while they're great and certainly icons, and again, not comparing, but what sets us apart from them is they will kill you and move on, whereas Art will sit there and fuck with you for like 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he plays with his food. And it's interesting to watch. And he does so much heinous stuff, but he does it in a way that's abso-fucking-lutely charming for some reason, you know? And you're watching these kills that just go on, and all of a sudden, they cross the line into just being so absurd that you can't help but have a good time with it, you know? It's really an interesting formula. There are times when you find yourself laughing. You're like, should I be laughing at this? You know, mm-hmm. It's really weird. I said to Damian, I think it was like 2 days ago, I go, dude, I really have to ask you a question. He's like, well, what? I go, here's a movie that features so much really bad, vile things being done to people, and yet it seems to be bringing people this unprecedented amount of joy. Are we doing this right? We are making a horror movie, right? And it's just, we're so blessed that people are responding to it as well as they are. We truly are.
Yeah, I think Art's character is definitely written in such a way where it's like he just is such depravity when he goes through with these kills. And then there's those moments where it's just like, I can't help but laugh. You know, he walks in with an apron with dinner and his little bell. And it's like, you can't help but laugh at that.
You know what? Our one regret is we never filmed him making the mashed potatoes. In retrospect, we should have. You know, because I think that's just it. It's the absurdly human things that he does,
mm-hmm.
that you never see. And like, come on, doing his laundry, you know, you don't see that. You never see your killers do that. And you get to spend this time with this really freakazoid character who will break into your house and the first thing he does is get a glass of water, you know. It's bizarre. And it's those little moments, those little human touches, which I think really makes him interesting.
Well, have you guys considered Art in space?
He has to go to Hawaii first.
Okay.
Fair. Very fair.
Or at least we have to go to Hawaii first. We film these movies in the winter usually, and it's goddamn cold here. yeah, a tropical setting, not so bad.
Yeah, not a bad
idea.
Could
be interesting. Sure, there could be some use with a coconut in there somehow, some way.
If ever there's anyone who could think of something pretty bad to do with it, it would be Damien. So.
All right. Mr. Barton, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And coming on and chatting a little bit about the movie.
Of course, anytime.
All right. Before you go, though, I do want to ask what your favorite kill of this movie was.
Wow. I'm a little torn because I think Brooke is my favorite character in the movie, the one who gets killed in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my favorite kill has to be Ellie, just because it's so absurd and it goes so far. And it's so non-realistic, and even physics-wise, it's non-realistic, but it's so visceral. And then I don't want to give away the spoilings, but when he leaves the room and comes back with the, shall we say, accoutrements,
mm-hmm.
It's really just fucking nuts. And I think hands down, that's my favorite. What are your favorite kills?
I think mine also has to be Allie for the same reason. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, you keep thinking like, oh man, this is intense. And then, you know, he leaves and you're like, man, what a wild ride. And then he comes back and you're like, oh, we're not done.
And then after it ends, there's 5 minutes passed and we're still not done with it.
We're still not done.
Right.
What about the rest of you?
Yeah, I like Allie's a lot. I also, I enjoyed it. It's very simple, but the mother in the garage I thought was fantastic.
Oh, the cinematography for that.
Yeah,
that was just really well done.
George Stuber has, the dude is talent personified. Seriously.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think the Allie kill, but also that moment right after with the candy bowl, that's not a bowl, immediately after, sent me. Yeah. It was too good.
Well, let me ask you one other question. Did we top the hacksaw scene?
Probably. I don't know. It's hard to do, but that was a lot of blood and gore. So
I think the hacksaw scene still might be my favorite, but I will, you mentioned feeling that people were very joyful about this movie. I had the biggest smile on my face mm-hmm. throughout like the entirety of Terrifier 2.
Thank you. You know, I mean, and that's the reason, man. Listen, we go to the movies now, and there's nothing wrong with this. And please don't think I'm saying there's anything wrong with this, but we're living in a time where everything is like overly preachy. And there's always this message, like everybody wants to get this serious message out there to bring awareness to this, this, and that. And God bless, that's so important. But with this movie, we just wanted people to sit back and have a good fucking time and forget about everything else that's fucked up in this world and just sit here and take this ridiculous roller coaster ride, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is above and beyond what people are responding to, you know, the fact that you could just go into the theater and the lights go out and the mayhem begins and it doesn't stop until 2.5 hours later. And you could just shut your brain off and take the ride. And I think that's important too. I do think that may be almost as important as having these messages, these important messages in your movie. Because sometimes you just kind of shut your fucking brain off for a minute, man, or else you're going to go crazy. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm loving that we've been able to do that. It says a lot about you viewers out there. But we just wanted people to have a good time, and we made this. It sounds so cliche to say, but by the fans, for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think you can see that in every frame of this movie, how much fun we were having and how much fun you guys are having. It really is a very symbiotic relationship that we have with our fans. And we're thrilled to be able to do that and absolutely lucky to be able to continue on doing that. And if and when 3 goes or comes around, you guys ain't seen shit yet.
I can only imagine.
Oh, we're going to... If what we have planned comes to fruition, holy fuck, it's gonna be insane.
Well, that'll give us something to look forward to.
Will we see mm-hmm. it in a theater?
Yeah, right.
You know what? I think now you kind of have to, right? You know, I mean, if Terrifier 3 comes out and it's not in a theater, I think people will be like, well, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
So, but that ultimately is up to whomever our partners are. And not for nothing, I can't imagine anyone wanting to leave money on the table either, you know? Mm-hmm, so yeah. I would guess that it has to be in theaters at this point, as unlikely as this, that's what I just mean. Dude, we have caused utter chaos by breaking into the top 10. Utter, absolute chaos, because number one, we didn't expect to do it. Number two, everyone in the movie industry did not expect us to do it. And you know Hollywood, you guys have seen the movies. When something when something's a winning formula, they try to replicate it. Mm-hmm. Replicate this. This has never been done before. So even the people who are in charge of making this happen are kind of like, well, shit, what the fuck do we do now? You know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just the fact that this little movie is causing so much chaos just by existing and being successful, it's just, this is a gift, and it's a time in both history that the film industry, I don't think, is going to forget. And it's without question a time in my life that I will never forget. And I will hold these moments, even this interview, really close to my heart. Because we're all very humble people, and when people actually give a shit about what we're doing or what we have to say, that means the world to us, and I sincerely mean that.
All right, thank you for joining us again. We appreciate your time, and you know, the movie is, like you said, causing chaos at the box office, just like Art would like.
Yeah, yes. I mean, we always say this movie didn't get released; it escaped. It did, dude. It absolutely fucking escaped into theaters.
Where can people find you?
On Twitter, I'm at Uncle Creepy. On Instagram, I'm at Uncle Creepy SB. On Facebook, I'm facebook.com Uncle Creepy. And then I had to do something, made me feel really dirty.
Oh gosh.
I reached the 5,000 friends limit on Facebook, and I had to open up a fan page. And I just, like, it made me, you ever see like Ace Ventura when he has the plunger on his face and he's like trying mm-hmm. to punch his face? That's exactly how. like I wanted to just shiver in the fetal position in my shower after I had to do that. But you know, you could find me Steve Uncle Creepy Barton on Facebook as well. I'm not able to take your friend request under my main account. Everyone's welcome under the fan account. I paid just as much attention to both.
All right. Perfect. Thank you again so much for your time. We appreciate it.
You.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're back. And that was our chat with Steve Uncle Creepy Barton, a producer on Terrifier 2. And I guess that's going to do it for this episode, unless there's anything else you guys want to bring up real quick.
No, so not for me.
Good. Please don't have anything to bring up. I would like to get out of here.
I'm sorry. Do you have like a hot date or something? No. Did you pick someone up at the bus stop finally?
I don't go to the bus station anymore. I go to Applebee's.
Excuse me, Applebee's.
Yeah, Applebee's. And that's
I'm
only
sure
on Friday
your Crocs
nights.
Aren't pulling in too many women.
Oh, I pull some ass in those Crocs. All right. So here we go.
I can't believe you did it.
I did it. All right. You can find the show on Twitter at This Horror Life. You can shoot us an email, thishorrorlife@gmail.com. Tell us Crocs, yes or no? In an email if you want. I don't check them, so I don't, it doesn't matter to me. Ghost, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at GhostCJ with a zero. You can also find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/ghostCJ, also with a zero.
All right. And Kat, where can you be found?
You can find me on Twitter at @Kat_Velour. You can check out my website, katvelour.com. And you can check out the horror anthology that I'm in, Strange Weeds. It's over on Amazon. It's a charity anthology. All of the proceeds go to the Last Prisoner Project.
All right. And I'm on Twitter at RadioRob123. And you can listen to Slasher Radio, the other show I do, along with Kat. Wherever you are listening to This Horror Life. And that is what we like to call an episode, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yay, an episode.
Woohoo!